what is your view on that? Then the finding that I'll just go through to recall that in the five objectives that you have, I'll just go through the objectives. So the first objective is to perform this analysis of the small enterprise sector focusing on the size of the sector, key characteristics, and challenges. I think this one, happens what came through from the department, so that there really is insufficient information on the SME sector. There is no updated database and coordinated research agenda on the SME sector. And there's all this absence of the sector-wide energy system in the SME sector. It is able to report what is bad, MIDA, etc., but there's no consolidated view for how the sector performs. This also came through in the department study. The department has sort of clarified getting this process to Europe, this framework, how to coordinate and consolidate information on the sector. So this finding is similar to what came through from the DSPD on the DSPD study. Then on the objective, on the objective two, here what should be borne in mind is that this study was completed towards September, October last year, which is when Zika was doing the strategic review process, which ultimately is the document that I'm presenting later on. So important, some of the key findings, the importance of SMEs and cooperatives, the content from the National Development Plan, the fourth international policy content, the state of the nation addresses, the 9%. So the relevant and important of the sector is disclosed to from the energy and the DSPD strategic objective outline alignment. So they look at it from the NGF, the study outcomes, you look at the infrastructure. So they need then among the key informants that are interviewed, there seems to be this limited understanding of what radical economic transformation is. So the recommendation from the study was that still to ensure that we align to the department's strategy and also to policy questions. And that's what that work has been done, culminating the AP document that we will be presenting. But more important for us is to really, as we communicate our strategy, not just communicate our results, statements, and framework, but also communicate how we align to the product policy documents from government. Third objective three, which was ensuring that at all stages of the study, there's this aligned understanding between the three studies, one for the department, the CIPA one, as well as the CIPA one. This was partially achieved. If you recall, the CIPA one, the web delays, and then there's some comments. But the department's one, there was constant information sharing between the two groups that are working on the study. And the department was part of the key stakeholder focus group that they are still also participated in the department. And then towards the end, the CIPA was part of the key informant interviews and stakeholder focus group. So really couldn't get at a consultant level their comments because CIPA was delayed in their study. But at least from a CIPA internal, APD internal and consultants, so there was this aligned understanding and moving together in terms of the review study. Then on objective four, which is to review the products and services in terms of relevance, effectiveness, delivery mechanisms, and scale against government policy and DSPD strategies. So here we looked at voting advantages, we see that branch manager and provincial manager is not really. So we looked at the surveys for both senior clients as well as the people that run the delivery network, which is a provincial and branch network. So we looked at the programs in terms of effectiveness of the benefits to the small enterprise. We looked at relevance and also looked at awareness and familiarity. There's a couple of main items that we use to assess the effectiveness of benefits. Like the entrepreneur being able to improve their business management skills, make new contacts, identify new opportunities, know how to raise capital, products and services that improve, to learn what business mistakes that to avoid, and able to identify certain So this is important to the company because the SIA database already gives you a sense of sustainability, increasing turnover, and increasing loyalty. So it's not to use a different set of SIA items and see whether we will still come up with the same findings on the effectiveness of benefits of their corporate programs. Then the evaluation of the delivery mechanism focused on sales and generation, not SIA position, network, but I'm also looking at the two critical components of the delivery network, so your business advisors and your service providers. Then the key findings related to the program. Overall, the program was found to be relevant and effective. Incubation program was really held in high regard. Even the first part on the study were so keen on integrating one drug and the TMRG as an effective tool for small enterprise development. National Gazelles was also seen to offer mass chronic. What was quite interesting is that when we look at, we compare how internally we look at the effectiveness of our programs vis-a-vis the external clients, we find that they have a stronger case for our programs than internal clients. We've had sessions where we find and look at the causes for different drugs. One of the key reasons is that there's a unit head office which does program review, analytics, and development. The feeling from the is that this unit tends to be removed from the day-to-day running of the network. So there is this business. You can't really get a more involved program development team. It also takes the feedback and considerations of the delivery staff. So we really find business here between the R&D unit head office and the delivery system at a provincial level. What also came through was that there was no level of awareness of the program. So what people would tell me is that I was able to get the following interventions from people. I was able to get marketing material, I was able to access a loan from this company, I was able to get business plan done, I've got a mentor. But we're not the person under which programs we operate, or which program I'm under. They're not related to each other. So the one thing that we figured is that we tend to send interventions and not release these programs. So the thing is no what interventions are there. I don't understand what this is the right program. I am part of them. The network was seen to well established in the world trained in certain the some relation with these stakeholders, like USA, USABS, CIA. So most organizations are placed in the ecosystem in the sense of some relations with those. The capacity issues are identified in two key components of the business manager, which is the business advisor and your AFM service. Also, what came through mostly from the key informants was that there were two schools of thought around the residential class. One school of thought is covered and that sense that someone wants to start a business, so someone writes an app and earns just below 200,000. Another one says if you want to maximize impact, charge a certain segment of the business and then try to get other partners to do that. So we want them to manage to scale and see that it's covered and tax and much as only of adequate resources to do that, part of the time important, but overall responsibility has to be so that we cover the entire sector. So we find work with partners as much as possible to cover the entire SME sector and corporate sector, and really trying to use partnerships in this space. Then some of the actions we look from the key findings that we look at in this. When we present either or with questions about here, so not really about what we may offer to you as Muslims, but really about what kind of problems we have as you can have. So a person has a comprehensive view. You should be able to say, okay, one of us you here, maybe I should consider to get another program. You just say how would we do only to one program. We also prioritize an organizational comprehensive framework study. We should just attend to what the key competency will be, especially for business advisor. Once we get there, we then assess our business advisor's competency against this competency framework and then develop an appropriate training to fill the gap between those two. We're also speaking to the Institute of Business Advisors of Africa to come up with a more comprehensive way of accrediting service providers and our business advisors. Current service provider accreditation is done in-house, and we feel that we should be a more competent, independent body with a rigorous assessment tool that grades service providers, both in terms of abilities and the resources they have in-house. Also, another area that came up recently on the delivery model, which is really on the role and extent of involvement of the business advisors and service providers. So here we need to looking at what are the trade-offs which is where we think we should focus more on using business advisors vis-a-vis provider. What happens is that the optimal way is based on the strength of the sector and the session use a certain group, letter and hour. But also when we prioritize partnership with organizations that complement the duty to try and show that we cover the entire thing spectrum. At the service partners, for example, we find the partnership between the CIA where we can look at them providing some support in high-growth small business. So partnership would become very key for us going forward to ensure that we try and cover the entire SME spectrum. So these are just some of the statistics where if you look at the customer rating of CDAS program, we're looking at excellent below adequate. So adequate becoming the type of point where we say being a mind poor and development in the area of concern. Some programs like the National Gazelle, for example, and women enterprise, there's a lot we don't know which really means it's really close to people not being aware of the problem, they're not being able to offer them very well. If I look at programs like the quality program, even the 70% acceptance rate, that is too much, it's also going very high, as well as technical. So there's certain programs like the tech transfer quality and access to market, access to finance, whether it's a 50% positive customer rating in them. But more worrying is that we have professionals do not know the feedback from the clients that we have. And then when we, so what we did with us, I think each program look at the effectiveness of it. So what I learned from this is that our program tends to be more effective from what people think of on things that focus more on the entrepreneur team or head down and less on the management level. So if you look at me, I get being able to identify certain benefits, then what business mistakes or avoid, what the improvement of products and services, and improve business management. So those are more internal focusing on the entrepreneur. And things like able to raise capital and try new opportunities and make new contracts, those ones presumed to be lower level of spending. So what one can do from this is also that zero sensitive intervention done 6 months ago. So maybe the first level benefit is to improve you as an entrepreneur and down the line you have start seeing this organizational level benefit. But you look at how CIA has generally performed in terms of increasing channels and other people employed, but also some step of business aware about 40% or 40% of the guys you are supposed to share now and promote people, 60% of the same have not been able to so the 50% was using those different game items tend to correlate what you get from the normal CIA improvement assessment measures that we do. Then this is the area where we look at now getting the CIRA and the chief business and social manager for them now to make a profit. This is what we would be understanding to be that we hold in terms of empathy because it's a field training program. Women enterprise coaching a lot of programs that are what we have in terms of programs. But generally, there's quite a high level of high rating on programs like your access to matter, quality, your corporate. So what's the high level of rating in terms of program? Programs that really we have a bit of a worry, programs like access to finance, where they felt that much of the time you have 7 years to extend out China without the structure, MOU between CIRA and the right institution. There's really minimal impact in terms of getting successful funding applications done on the other side. So, if you compare this one to the one you looked at from the external client, the external client seems to make a program more high, but not normal. Whereas there's quite a lot of poor when you look at internally, and the poor really relates to how programs are conceptualized. Because there's more of a proper approach where the network is not carefully, not sort of brought in to conceptualize the new program, which is one area that we prioritize going forward. So although the ratings of the programs are excellent, good, or adequate, are at an acceptable level, what is worth noting is that this is higher rating by external clients and I think about as it grows up, we'll really look at how this was done. One area where it keeps working is around programs around the very transfer, where the really people is common communication to the new network to look at how can you put a turnaround time, other application forms, substitution and other instruments. So trying to learn from programs like the quality transfer and how to use the same approach of how those programs interact with the new network and so that putting other programs of supply development, we don't really get this tool you get to develop the end of office not considering what you do at the delivery, network. Then, this is, I think I did touch on this one, by the way, when you ask SMEs on the awareness level of the CIRA program, they really generally low awareness level of the program. They tend to understand what intervention they receive, as opposed to what program might fall under. There's also a view, for example, if you look at a program like TechFunder, which is an incentive, there's also the view of over-marketing this, knowing that you've got conveyed financial resources. There's also this, how much you market on these programs when you have a resource after this stock constraint. But then we need to verify and customize this to the whole list of programs that we offer and try and carve in patterns to supplement in areas. For example, CIA is a system that can be able to assist people's clients. But really, collecting some notes at the telling small businesses that you're going to get, maybe you're going to get a business plan, you're going to get marketing material, you're going to be applying a mentor, and then it's rather than really telling you that you're under supply to them, for example, or you're under a product from a person support program. That's the distinction. And that's the point we need to make. The support program for this city cannot support customer interventions that help us performing all those programs. So actually we need to improve on this awareness that when you sign this interesting, if you find your comprehensive or you need to learn more your center, you should be able to understand all kinds of programs that data has. So even if you're really looking at a long-term relationship, you can see a perfect contract because the network program, I might not quite find for that now, but over time I should work towards being assigned on that program. There are also some key recommendations on the customer that the master key that current programs and services were bound to be relevant. The certain programs that they've identified and said, it's either good access, it's either offering these, or trying to pull in the partners that are working. But the self-support for the launching is very important. Especially in support program, mentorship, effort and input program, CITP program, also with the whole centralized procurement and treasury, how does CITA assist small businesses to compliance? So these are different programs that we are saying we'll consider implementing those. Or by working with partners, it would really enhance our service offerings to small businesses. And these are units, these are programs that should answer the RNG unit head office to look at how we can work around these. Looking at partner institutions, for example, CIPC can come and work with us. This staff can work, how can NASA show you this? How can they engage them? How can they send our practitioners to be able to go and teach small businesses on how to comply with the centralized supply cooperation strategy? So there's work that we're really trying to do on this, but really trying to use partner as much as possible to work in that space. Then from the key recommendations from CIDA stuff really being more on how can we make organizations more efficient. One that came through was try and especially for your more upper end, more service business, try and automate some of those processes that we have so you can free up time for those clients. An example that I made is if there's someone who's operating in Rosnet who supplies components to BMW, it's difficult for a guy to come into the Victoria CBD to have a meeting, go back to work, and then come back for a meeting. You can create a system that allows this person to give information upfront, analyze the business information, so the time he comes in for a meeting, you have a view of what his business challenges are. But this should be done bearing in mind that not every small business will be able to do that. So this is who is not available session plan, but you still need to have your business advisor going out there to look for clients, analyze clients from where they are, but also having this network where clients are able to come into the branch. But also this pop-up introducing minimum entry requirement for small enterprises to do that kind. But this, when you have a closed up meeting, because the many doesn't really allow us to be that event in terms of the customer. So as long as you qualify to be the beginning of business, you would then be able to be a success. One other area that came through on how to improve internal efficiency is improve processes for quick turnaround time. So what we're doing here is to really implement a balanced and hard system where we look at the internal business process components, is coming up with operational level agreements. So if you want to approve a certain cost for a time, finance should be updated to within the period of time, and so all of the supply chain costs are done so they're kind of able to actually use that finance internally. In terms of our turnaround time, because costs that need to be signed, there needs to be further turnaround time and those. And then also improve relations with the organization that we do. But there's also this feeling that the proposal agreements, they should have a balance between quality, efficiency, as well as the numbers that come. We don't really focus on how many clients are this, but how fast does this do sign, what are turnaround times, and what is the impact of our intervention on this time. So the balance forecast will have a great deal in ensuring that you measure people from all professions, you're not just focusing on the client, for the client. And then these are some of the projects I just touched on now to look at how we can improve internal efficiency. So we're looking at automating some of these registration diagnostic tools for the clients that are able to access us online, but still avail the services through the traditional mechanisms. We've been getting the balance forecast, putting in place, and getting this internal operational level agreement. Then we've asked the they're trying to really give us an overall rating of Sierra as an organization. There's a couple of key findings that came through versus the proper processes, good financial mechanisms, generally well trained officer. The network is also well established in areas where there's also that branch with five co-location to reach the community. There seems to be partnerships with key stakeholders. But the problem, that SIDA has actually had, we only get focused on micro and urban aspects, and that's seen in the fact that about 95% of the scientific efforts are in that space, and very few are facing the small and so trying to find a balance between those two groups. And also that there's no clear strategy on corporate development, which is something that we have started working on getting a comprehensive strategy on this. So I did touch on that we will be reviewing this strategy model, looking at what the best way to develop the product and services we have to use most of consulting and what is the optimal balance between the two, and to continue to strengthen partnerships with the key stakeholders so these are just some of the rating that we're given their way. It's quite a lot up to have about 80% plus. Information on the SIDA website, creating state items that happens on the programs, range of programs, offer application of SIDA services, effectiveness of programs. So there's only one higher rating when you look at SIDA as an organization, SIDA as an organization. And then when you ask the customer really on the business advisor as a key component of the business mechanism, the customers rely quite a lot on the business advisor for advice and so they really felt that the capabilities of the business advisor is most suitable towards the lower end. So the lower end is basically what we call businesses employment and less people. Businesses employment and less people, there's very few business advisors that have the capabilities to operate in this space. So trying to find initial estimates. Engineering led. It's difficult to get people out there who are already ready to come in with the child care regulator. So I told them we were trying to just define local intervention programs and trying to identify areas out there that are unemployed in productivity and engineering and bring this program and use it as a feeder into our business advisor. So that's one area that we're working on to find. And so that we get business advisors, some of these key sectors are trying really badly because of how much of the general market would offer, for example, for an engineer with an MBA. You can't really use our skills for it, but you can find, bring people in as interns and other times and pull from that pool to employ them and set up business advisors. Then on slide 3, this will give a sense of how the business advisors were rated by the CEDA Bank. I think the area here, there's two areas really here. The first area is just really maintaining context and following up on a business. So that's an area that stands out that a business advisor will come and assist us, and then once you agree on it, I'm going to start marketing material, then they tend to disappear when it comes towards the end of the story. So none of this content keeping in touch with it. And obviously with the workload or the case of that business advisors have, it's difficult for them to maintain continuous contact, but we believe we can use technology to ensure that they do maintain contact with their clients on the basis. So the area of understanding your business needs also needs to be there. So by generally think that the willingness to access the users of advice given those on internet society, but it's just being more sector specific and maintaining contact with their clients that you access. So those are the areas that we need to ensure. Then key findings on the service providers. I think one is that the reliance on service providers, which is a model that I know the EU is going to be that the flip side of that is that they don't just really have this core competence that they have because outsourced that to service providers. So it's really looking at the optimal strategy so that you do have some of these tools in China, but looking at service providers also being an effective way to ensure that you reach as many small businesses as possible. So those are questions around the quality of the service provider and how this is where that where when I look at working with the partner for credit and service providers, look at the review before the review model, both business advisor and service provider, and then also content to claim organizations that can offer some of the services that I see and how we can use those to improve our offering as an organization. Then these are the ratings of the service providers on slide 46. One thing that I'm saying in context, that location to your business, technical representative. So some of the areas that we need to then look at. Obviously, we need to take some of these findings when we're more interested on that group and try and come up with interventions. So these are the areas that we need to look at from a service provider. We also asked about what deliveries have to also raise the service providers. And again, maintaining contact and following up on actions is one area where we have to sign up an agreement that we're going to do this for the service provider rather than making their contact and keep the clients informed about the progress is on that connected intervention. So it's really the whole customer relationship is one area that we need to improve both on our internal delivery staff, but also on our service provider. And then just to sort of wrap up now, look at all of the key findings and recommendations. What the organization action would be. We've used the two basic things that I think any cycle to further align our ATP to the department. But I think the next organization is to resolve and that alignment and strategy objective at the level. We are looking at our meeting and corporate comms functional strategy. We really discuss selling to our problems. I think in programs that we find the integration or network ourselves, we're doing the program and the integration. We need to try and ensure that we do this across our whole basket of programs. We're also doing a study on the economic dynamics and SME profile per region, very good example. Who still has a grant, for example, in the over time of this. What is the business application in the area? What are the key sectors? So in terms of discussing what kind of staff do we need in the area, what kind of sector expertise do we need, what kind of partners do we need. So we look at this based on its that is based on the job and they are very sophisticated. So that's what I'm encouraging. First, you should know that do I need a very sophisticated to advise them this year as well as the next year. But it is based on the general service that in that area. I'm also talking to them about the delivery model and the whole content requirements that we've developed. Would you really give us a sense of if this is your strategy, what are the key components that are needed to effectively implement the strategy? Then we do another kind of a business advisor. Where are the gaps and how do we then close the gaps? Do we do it in our power?
There's a problem with the evaluation itself, especially with a sample that was used. For instance, the sample that was used to find out from the clients about Cedar. Was less than 0.001%. So the sample to produce was very, very small. If you look at, I think it's on page. So I don't know if you can trust this review or this evaluation. I think they talked to 36 clients or something like that. Most of the clients was 46.
I don't want to say a word of what you saw in the hash rate. Could I kindly put in a word? No, I thought at the moment we were discussing first whether we could be taking both or taking one that has been presented. And then I was saying I would ask the superiors whether we should have that we go with your proposal of receiving the sugar annual deficit. So that when we I observed that the sugar is already going into each of the CDAS the different ones.
No,
that's
not my idea.
My understanding was that Honorable Kruger was trying to explain one has to be cut. Before we get into the second one. But I would want to know this one. I'll come back to you on that one. I would want to know the two ideas. Honorable Kruger is correct in that he wants to speak on the effectiveness of the school level. So, correct me that. But also, my point of saying that I've discussed both of the report is that what we shall do through the annual performance list is informed by the assessment of the system. So, my view on that is, if what we are going to be seeing in the annual performance plan is informed by the review, obviously the financial mission support progress never take hold, so that we can then begin to see whether what has been presented as a review is actually reflected in the annual performance plan. Bearing in mind that when we do that, we also relate that to the strategic plan of the department. And we also use our own draft of our own strategic plan, because that would be true that we use to actually check. There's a key of learning to see whether what is being presented to us relates firstly to the MVP, two, to the need and pain of financial failure, and three, to the department, and what policies of government that are being accepted by what is being presented. That's what it might be. I don't know that Honorable Kruger thinks it's too difficult to raise the same questions as you are raising if we are taken the one presentation. And then when we get into question five, you raise the same question as you are raising.
One other thing,
Mr.
Chair.
Thank you. Can we then take the annual performance plan? Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I'll go to the annual performance plan 2015-2017. Outline, but I also just want to look at how the study depends around the MCF 2014-2019. We're looking at which of those outcomes we program out at a program level and then looking at some of the key issues that are identified in the study, and looking at the cause effects, and looking at what we did at the gap of public organization, what came through from that. Just looking at, again, at our target market, some of the core assumptions underpinning our intervention, why we do what we do in the study is triggered, and then how do we align with our organization, looking at program, at 10 program performance, and then the implications and expenditure for next year, and then looking at initiatives over and above what is in the set program performance, what other strategic initiatives we need to impacting funds and children and this. So in terms of the MCF outcomes for interventions, defense employment, paying to control, and vibrant access to sustainable communities contributing towards food security for all. On inclusive growth, the approach that we take is really where we prioritize women, black, and group capabilities, so we continue to see increased participation level of women and women by those demographics in the business industry. We're really trying to look at what the national average is and try and align what the pathways as an organization. Then really, our program has to drive towards increasing the term of number of small enterprises, increasing the number of people employed by these businesses, as well as reducing the mortality rate. We need to leave the difficulties to the owners of small businesses that are trying that can create employment and facilitate this issue. Then on creating rural communities, we have a program on corporate with the community partnerships. We're looking at a robust strategy around, but also more importantly, we started looking at the department of the National Informal Business Agreement Strategy, how to create an operational lifetime component of that as a special program in the future. Also, our delivery network tries to get access to the public, much as possible to rural enterprises, either through our branches or in areas where we don't have a branch, to try and do the rotation and mobile business team as accessible as much as possible to businesses in those locations. Then, this change is just a, if you look at this, the first bullet is basically the problem. What is the problem that we feel are trying to address? The second bullet is what causes this problem? And the third bullet is the change. So if you were able to understand the cause of that change centered around the problem. So the problem is the limited growth and the unsustainability of UN existing small enterprises. And this is caused by a number of factors. Some of these is inadequate and uncommitted support, common conditions that do not favor small enterprises, the learned and no culture, limited access to capital resources, and an unfavorable operating environment for small enterprises and companies. And this can be seen in the fact that there is limited contribution by small enterprises and companies in economic growth and employment in the country, which ultimately leads to unemployment, poverty, and poverty. So this is how we are seeing today. The problem is trying to solve what causes the problem and what this problem is. And what the problem this problem is resulting. And then also look at how we've done in the past, and really agree that with the resources that we'll be able to contribute with in terms of improving the capabilities of small enterprises. That if you look at about 4,000 clients assisted from 2009 to date, we were 80% of those who say we had an increased number of people employed. Compared to that, for the general economy, where this has done in terms of employment creation, you see that this group tends to have done an education which just taken under 15,000, we are just able to track the actual number of jobs because the time are incubated full time in the program. So the couple of areas that are applied to the incubation, and support trying to scale up interventions to the upper end, looking at the policy that are the NDP, and working with corporations and large scale projects. We've done a lot of efforts in that area. And it really tries to do the business model that differentiates Cedar from what everyone else does. For the viewers that people shouldn't come to Cedar because they're going to get subsidized, but it should be the quality of the support that we do. So how do we improve our efficiency generally to consider as an organization that small enterprises should come to for support. Then this is how we define the sense where the lower end tends to be more necessary to even survive. A lot of support is needed in that area. We should try and change, because some of the people, they're mostly necessary people, they want even a things that they get from the president's basically through the police center. So we need to try and change the mindset of certain people who see themselves as a different head. So there's little tech to be kind of business skills, a lot of MODing, training, and things like that. But then you go to work, you're more opportunity driven and employment in one class. You're looking at least a fair level of technical and business skills, but everything from your mentorship, your check and share, productivity improvement becomes the key product. So you offer support to everybody across, but the need of SME becomes as you go from this bank, and the time you really need to show that there's more SME needs at the law end than very few. And so what we should do is try and come up with interventions that enable micro enterprise to graduate to very small, to graduate to more, to graduate to medium. So once we've seen as once you come in, the time journey model that you have is to try and make changes from being a service to opportunity, but also for you to start growing more people becoming the most sustainable business as you go around. So in here was just to look at some of the core assumptions that underpin our intervention, where, in essence, why do we do the intervention that we do? Why do we do training and capacity? We do it because it improves business skills and performance, and that results in business ability and growth. By providing information to SMEs, it leads to them making better decisions, again, to certain business and growth, improving access markets, increasing turnover, access to technology, makes them more competitive and more profitable. Mentorship and coaching improves business management and reduces business mortality rate. And then mobilizing and capitalizing communities to explore available business opportunities, addresses economies of scale and resulting business sustainability and growth. And then incubation as well to improve sustainability. I think incubation is one area where if you look at what the general report is saying on small businesses, don't care about the first day of business operation. But if you look at the one that you need to about 76% of those are able to survive those barriers across the field. So you can see that it does have a significant impact in terms of improving the mortality rate of small businesses. Then we also established a pillar of the organization where we understand there's a lot of organizations that operate in the small enterprise and development service, but we want to be this kind of if anybody wants to work within the organization around it, they see that should be top of mind and delivery model we have, it should be talking about professional health as the center of excellence. Then the mission basically is what we do, why we do it, and how do we do it. So we do not support and promote small enterprises and corporates. We want them to grow and be more sustainable, and we do this in coordination partnership with other operators. This is where the core set of values that we have centered around in a necessary organization, because we need to measure the small enterprises, especially the ones that are going through this difficult nascent stage of business formation. Innovation becomes very important. Customer orientation, we need to be customer oriented, ethical behavior, but also resilience. As an organization where we expect to do much with less, but also working with small businesses that are navigating what is a very tough environment. But the goal here is to ensure that when we look at the small enterprise over time, the contribution to the GDP, the number of employment figures in the country should be increasing over time. If that happens, then we say we are making a contribution as an Then the next slide, which is slide 9, really gives you the results-based management framework that we have as an organization. So at the bottom is three predictive outcome-oriented goals and outcomes. The third one is improve profitability for small enterprises and corporations. The second one is increase service delivery network to reach underserved areas. So the area where we feel we could increase our network coverage in. And then the third one is to maximize support offered to see the client to stakeholder competition. So if you can really work on these three, they should result in the intermediate outcomes of the top, which is increasing the number of successful enterprises and costs, increasing the number of people they employ, and reducing the mortality rate, which ultimately should lead to the ultimate outcome, and then contribution to those three common outcomes. So this is how we model our framework today. These three outcomes, so those intermediate outcomes, the ultimate outcome, and ultimately contribute to those government-serving outcomes. Then, this is then to look at taking the GSP development outcome of the goal and the state funders. Look at goal one as a department and goal one as a city. You see the interalignment there where the one is also the sustainable community and going small businesses, which is aligned to what CIDA does. Then CIDA is a more strategic objective that talks to our goal, which is aligned to the people. So this idea is just to show the interalignment between our objective to our goal and to the department strategic outcome oriented. that you have any continuation. I'm not going to go through the studies of the city because they decided that they should give you a clear presentation of what you want to do. But what we're supposed to do to demonstrate how the alignment between our objectives and the department. And the department. For example, on goal two, the department goal is sustainable small business in rural and partial communities. See that goal is to see that they will never to in other service areas. So this is one that talks to establishing new indicators in charity services and also the special indicators in that service. So the indicators tend to be centered around either then Pumalanga and Kauteng the largest place. So we need to ensure that we increase our integration into the province that we see saying the North Cape, the Northwest, for example. And then in this collocation point you identify that the question in the contract and right here. So what you can see is very collocation point. They were able to assist small businesses in those areas, they should contribute to the department's goal. And then also put up the experiment for Cedar Branch and Cedar Branch Association from discussing. We should have studied on the economic profiles of a district and really see where the ideal location of Cedar Branch is to be, the size of the branch, the kind of skills we need, and also the kind of partner we need to bring. So that to show the demonstrative level how we are aligned to the department's goal number two, which is that of attaining small businesses in rural and township communities. Then goal four. Also, the department is the one that goes to a demographic. The CIA model is the one who remains in demographics and say every program needs to have a certain target of women, youth, and disability. But don't really have specific programs. For example, there's no women in manufacturing program, but manufacturing is a certain target that a certain percentage of clients should be women. So that goal three of the department is maintained into both of our programs. We're always cognizant of the demographic indicator that we need to achieve. When you look at goal four of the department, which talks to strategic partners that are able to support small businesses, see that what they maximize the support offered to their clients to take on the contribution. So here we're looking at two things. One is looking at partners that we believe can enhance what we do. We look at your CIA, SA, organizations of the nature that can assist us in what we do. The second point is the certain instances where at provincial and local government level, there's funding allocation for small enterprise corporations and companies, but the rest of the capacity. So we can use the funds, get those funds, and even those sources. So we look at a number of partnerships, things like research, also become part of the team, part of the first social thinking. Again, to show that the partnership is quite important to see that as it is come to the department. So that's just to show alignment at a certain voluntary level between the department and the organization. Then looking at the CIDA program for ACP, really broken our programs into three areas. The first one is enterprise development, which is what our branch network has. The second one is your CIDA technology program, which is our integration support, your tech transfer, your financial standards, most of the technology related interventions too. Then the third program is administration support, which is network 55 transactions, and the 60 something integration. So on program one, which is enterprise development, the purpose of it is to provide new things and growth things that support small enterprise and companies throughout the country. This will offer a lot of advice, consulting, training, mentorship, and intervention based on a diagnostic assessment that we do. We also have the risk proofing program which really works on rural enterprise and cooperative development. Then this would be the certain outcome oriented goal, the strategic objective, and the performance indicator or measure, and then looking at the medium term target. So then the one question that always comes up is the problem is why on some of the you see an increase. So this will also be read in mind that if you look at the budget that we include in the organization, it's not increasing at a rate higher than say. So if you look at the cost of doing business compared to this. So we have to be more efficient over time to reach these targets. In some for example, from last year to this year there's a budget reduction. So it means we have to be more efficient as an organization. So we have a lot of assessment conducted on time base, which I think one is two. One is the capacity to take on new clients as an organization while continuing to work with existing clients over a longer period of time because that's how you derive and derive interest. So while you're working with this, we'll be assessing this and there's also time on other areas here that continue to receive support. Then the clients supported to supply development, they need to get 150, including about 75 again. This really depends on the partnership that we subscribe. So the ideal situation is one where we can get a partnership, let's say, with AfroMeet, and say, let's develop 25 subscribers, to come to actually a revenue program. So the first revenue program will be based on an agreement that we have with the large, with a large tax suppliers. Mentorship and coaching also to kind of increase that the overtime as well as the clients to support to trade facilitation. So one of the things support to trade facilitation, those are extra clients that we will be supporting to access and to access export markets. There's lots of more clients that we are putting to be ready to do exhibitions, to know to access the markets. But these are the ones, whether it's food trade show, or the structures program of internet markets. But these are the kind ones to see actually accessing export marketing. Then there's also the training on national international standards, which we have as a credit contract. Again, there's one program that on sectors like your Italian trade, there's also kind of the people that need to comply. Then on corporate support, we need to run the second marketing corporate as well as establishing the primary corporate. There's kind of a large pool of primary corporate that we have assisted, but we need to target this to now start looking at operating as a group at a secondary level. ESD is a program that we run with GI, the entire education department, where it's going to come to an end of this year, but if you can receive funding for that, then you can look at running that in the year. But the partners will end at the end of the 2016-2017. So then look at that into the epicenter of the department or other people, and then you can look at. So the program is really critical in working with the monetary event and the well, small group. And then the Cabello program will be the support of 200 clients on an annual basis. And then looking at, again, on increasing the similar delivery network to which under this area. Here, the first thing is to increase the number of co-locations going forward. We believe we can increase from the current number of our trains or so to something like 26. But then again, it's increased to 29 and 32. This will reduce as and when there's a higher appetite of co-location and we'll divide out of the year. So increasing from 26 to 26 for this financial year should be fine. Then on the framework for CDAP transformation and resourcing, I think when I finalize the study and then develop this framework of how our branches should be where they should be located and how and what resources should be there. We then look at internally how we can direct our resources to the framework, how to find and selling other process that we should be. So we can't really target the rules of communication until we can study and use our potential how this framework will look like. Then we have more certificates on which areas should be opening branches, they should be closing internal coordination, they should be partnered with, which areas should be partnered with going forward. Then the next program, which is called the technology program, which is the one that provides tech-oriented intervention innovation support to small enterprises and companies. We're looking at things like your incentive for management system, your product testing, machinery and equipment to the hand. To the community transfer and incentives. A lot of work done with the around the professional and safety standard, your ISO standard of business with the amount of compliance and export. So going for one area that we prioritize is trying to get more into better in provinces that you work on of your northern key states and other countries. Because the other few of the provinces are the ones where most of the incubators have been established. But it's also more important that most of the incubators are established in partnership with provincial and local government. So we hope we'll be able to get a good research when we go and experience the model that also happens. We make sure of potential stakeholders at the public conference where they really are interested in partnering with us in the community basis in the province. So hoping in the next financial year we can show support from them to scale up the situation of course. In those provinces we feel can do quite a big thing. And in education support, the thing that the target is to increase in about 10% year on year the number of clients that we have for education. But again, here, the model is quite complex in that it is kind of integrated for a 3-year period, so you're only able to. So, incubators are already very level. There's an incubator probably because incubators are graduating now, they can take in a new allotment of clients for another 19 years. So, the target is also dependent on where the incubator is in terms of education. But we believe we can target 10% increase on those with the resources we have. Then on increasing the number of clients approaches to product testing, again, this is also resource dependent. The resources are quite limited in this organization, so we have to do as much as we can with what we have to intervene in this case. This location, you have a host as well as effect on them. And then on the incubation side, here we really ask credit to the incubator with the funding that we have, which is a good way to do. So with the 5 or 4% that we get, we're continuing to support the already existing incubator. We can totally afford to take on one additional incubator to get, but we constantly go out and force partners to really assist that incubator. But we have it in place on the resources that we have, but we're going to continue going out there to source other partners to assist us in this space. Then the third program, which is administration, so this really talks to the support program. The key driver there is, one, we need to ensure that we progressively allocate more resources to the branch delivery network. So we can try and make the network to be more efficient. Let's try and allocate more resources to the delivery network, because that's actually where the impact is. So if you can find automation processes and save on from that, the funds that they need to make sure the channel towards the delivery network. And then also to try and get the vacancy rate to 10% and maintain at that level on our service organizations are a bigger factor. So we need to try and get a stable vacancy. So the focus on the staff retention strategies and career passion become important to retain some of the critical staff that we have. Then we talk to the sort of the figure. First of all, the effective and efficient budget management, where we need to progressively allocate more resources. We're looking about the fixed key cost of our budget should be going to directly deliver to the branch network and the rest sitting in that office. So we really want to take into account that ICT should have centralized in that office as a benefit of the market. Because we're pushing what percentage of the plans benefit from the network, the figure should be much higher, but because the and then on human resource management is to stabilize the agency rate at 10%. And then the plan is to have about 25% in professional development on technical assistance and partners like the AIDC and JIA. And then also looking at research and the way to give an opportunity for us to really make some savings by partnering with research institutions like universities. On how do we research on the sector. And then, in the process of drug our control, we need to establish relations with the provincial and local governments that we can maintain and defend transport, about 7.6 to 7.9 and actually 11.2 million, over and above the budget that we get. We don't have direct funds from them to implement some of the programs that we have. And the next slide just gives you the figure for 2014-15. What the budget was for this year and what the same budget are for the students. So if you look at it, you see that for the current year was 769, the year there was 79.1, but then it dropped by quite a bit, over 163.7 to the next financial condition. It's only year 3 we get to a level that's higher than the level that we had in the past. So the budget has dropped by quite a bit. It's going to take a bit of time to increase it. So it's really calls on us to be more effective as an organization. Partners become important in how we source additional resources. There's a partner that can do some of the work that we do, to the other side of that, to make savings on our side, what we do to maximize impact on the small businesses that we need to support. Then while implementing the strategies and ABC of the organization, the special initiatives and projects that we believe are critical for us in the next financial year. The first one really is based on this kind of the ideal sourcing and location of branches. Looking at how many business advisors would be ideal for a branch and what kind of skills do we need to service the business location complexity and sectors in those areas. To implement the program to retain and upskill business advisors. We also just one area where there's quite a high question about how to create career path and really get business advisors to commit and see themselves and being able to go within that organization. Also increased automation of some core and support processes to improve efficiency, but also to really free up some resources that can be allocated to the delivery network. And also one thing that came up from the study conference is that CEDA is a position related to this coordinator of the South African Business Community Innovation Association. Look at the value that can be about CEDA in the space, especially trying to carve in public sector involvement in education support, so much we feedback requests from the conference that we recently continue to fight into the business and operation matter, and then also what you started to do is to look at the structural informal setup problem, looking at the natural informal piece of that problem. How can we actually pull out from that problem and come up with our own informal structure program as an organization? So those are some of the key issues while increasing our strategy with this can also enhance what we do as an organization in our energy.
Thank you, ma'am. It's just the 11th of May, and that day our EPC will take place in the new assembly. So I think you might just postpone that meeting. I don't know where to. But we're already able to find that person. Nothing tells me that SIBA is taking into account that we are a developing country which comes from apartheid state and which has less rich inequalities and with the high unemployment that we are having. Automatically, it means we have many unemployed people, but we also have many informal sector. So that when we talk SMEs, nothing tells me that the informal sector is part when I listen to the presentation. Nothing tells me that those women that we saw in Tacoma, those women that fell taxation in Johannesburg, those men that fell along the street who are trying to make a difference there. Now, nothing tells me that they are part. Because if we start from the level above the with this, I'm not intending to say it's easy to help those helpless people.
I don't need it to be difficult. But if we don't have design packages to each them, we will only take care of those that are able to partially take care of themselves. Those helpless ones, if we ask them 5 years hereafter and say, do you meet anybody from CEDA, they will probably say, what are you talking about? So that's one major concern that I have. And then on slide 11, on the first one, the review, I was asking myself whether I'm thinking properly or not properly, but where in the whole thing should we place intellectual property? Even if not under one million, but it, you know, CEDA would be best advised to say where is intellectual property. And the client on slide 40, that's 2150, as well as the 47. Do we think this part of them that constitute or that cover the concern that I started by raising? Or do we accept that they are not necessarily part? My last question for the chair is on slide 16. Having accepted, because I had during the presentation that it is acknowledged that the survey was done more technologically. But then, what additional measures has CEDA taken to obviate that shortcoming? In other words, what has been done, what efforts have been done to make sure, because when I talk of this informal sector, it is not necessarily the youth there. The youth is part, but it tends to run across age groups. That's where we talk of our mothers, our aunts, our uncles, those that have a tent that has holes about them. When it rains, the rain comes through. When it's very hot, you know, they don't hardly have water. We don't want to blame you for everything. The fact that we don't have water, we don't have toilet, we don't want to throw that to you. But we're just trying to describe a layer, which if we don't take care of that layer, we will find that our efforts will go amiss. And the rural population, to what degree, when analyzed, have we covered the rural population? I must also preface and say, I know it is difficult to reach them, it is difficult because they are sparsely populated, but if we don't, if our strategies do not speak to them, we will find that the rural urban gap will not be closed. Thanks, Commissioner.
Another
thank you, Madam Chair. I'm partially covered by my colleague. My concern is also the trade, the street vendors and the informal businesses in South Africa. And then, of course, I don't think this, according to me,
this review or this evaluation of CEDAW, you know, looking at themselves, are very favorable. Because as I said previously, the sample they took, if you take this more or less, I think it's more than 600,000 registered businesses in South Africa. If you take that in account, without the stakeholders of course that my colleagues are talking about, it's 0.01% that we talk to. But if you talk to business, small and medium and micro businesses in South Africa, they will tell you two things. The one is finance, and the other one is, of course, red tape. And I don't see any red tape concerns in both of the presentations. So I just want to find out about that. And Jay, by the way, thank you for that presentation. I had a question for it. And I would like to know what the cost of this evaluation was. How much did it cost CEDAW to do this research on themselves? If we look at page 27 of the first presentation, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bullet. Besides capacity issues identified with two key components of the delivery mechanism, business advisors and service providers. And for me, that is the most important part of CEDAW. If you look at the mission statement, it says we will develop, support, and promote small enterprise. And this is exactly the tool that must be used to deliver. And if there's a problem with the specifically business advisors and service providers, surely we need to look at it very carefully. Thank you, Matthew. I think I'm covered. Thanks.
Thank you. Good night,
first question is based on page 27 of the document. Low levels of awareness or familiar with the problems is a challenge. So I want to know firstly how this is happening. How are people made aware of the services of looking at the breakdown of the sectoral breakdown of service clients. And I want to know why only 2% of their clients were targeted, because according to page 20, only 2% of service clients that the are in full stop. Is it because we don't have enough clients that are in the transport business or whatever it is? And then part of the total population, 2,150, so that I is only 181 at the transport. Out of that 181, only 47 is positive. And then trying to find out why such a low figure of plan that we're having that is positive. In the end, it's a question of challenges to respond to those challenges being addressed. And I also want to know whether CEDAW that support programs that are geared towards assisting township economies. They also need to be contributors to GDP. They also need to know how to increase their turnover so that they can also grow and finance. So do they have problems with that? And all your sales might be not as a threat. We are the same as our former business people in seems like they're being left behind. And all those who want to know why. And lastly, looking at the triangle on its I'm hoping or I'm hoping that informal township business people fall under the micro and subscribe that they now also what I'm wanting to know is what is being done to have those that are the very, very bottom to break this very small enterprise. And do they have examples of the effectiveness of their programs that have been managed to break with people from agents and some micro enterprises to the next one, which is very small enterprises, or from very small enterprises to small enterprises and so on. Do they have examples of the success of the programs that have helped some to create it from one way to the other?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. This was really awesome. Thank you. I've got 32 questions, sir. The first one is on page 85 on recommendations by customers. I just want to know, I think I remember when the president was saying they've taken that issue to one of their departments, but I really just want to know the development regarding this. What are the things that have been done so far to address what the customers have said? And then the last one, with page 39 of the first presentation, on the findings and recommendations of SIGA as an organization, when it says there's no clear strategy on cooperative development. And I was reading their vision, goals, and mission statement also. There's nothing that talks about cooperatives in the main vision and goals of the organization. I just want to know, because on the second presentation, they speak about the ultimate outcome, increased contribution of small enterprises and cooperatives to the state economy. Now, if you do not have a strategy on the cooperatives, how are we going to make sure that what you said in page 9 of the second presentation is done? Yeah, I think that's my question.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, I'm covered with most of my questions, but I want to go back to the page 16 and the five times you assisted in terms of the percentages there. Because to my understanding, I suppose they're supposed to be taking 100%. But if I look at the numbers say, I think it's more than 100%. That's to preschool in that line. Why it was having the understanding that the high number of youth that is there is because of the online assessment. And to me, it also probably when you're saying it is an idiot in that there was no attempt to go to the informal checking in terms of this assessment. Another point here is that if we can update this, how is the vacancy rate present, because we are trying to bring it down to 10% or even less than that. On page 33 of that, we also have the the indication of, you know, appropriate director base. Just want to check what is being done with that. Because in the absence of data base, then that means we're going to be able to move and correct some of the issues that they are supposed to be correcting. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, for the presentation. I want to just talk a little bit about the methodology here. Because way back in the dark ages, in my first year of university, one of my tech books was a book called Inferential Statistics. And one of the things that one learns in statistics is the concept of the sample size versus the population size, and the degree to which one can ascertain or ascribe a confidence level to the accuracy that one takes from a statistical analysis. And with a sample size of 0.027, I'd like to know whether the people who conducted the survey have done any have looked at whether that constitutes a bad sample. In other words, it's statistically significant sample. But if it isn't, then you cannot force a survey. The fullest focus group potentially. But it is not a scientifically valid survey where sample size is as low as 0.02. Now, you may question that. But I'd like to get some comparative comments, if you wouldn't mind, from either you now or later, as to the extent to which this actually constitutes a valid survey. For example, picking up on page 20, of the 47 survey flights divided by the 9 sectors, that gives you, for example, under engineering and transport, 2% of the survey represents one business. Retail, which is the largest, represents 11 businesses. That is fact. So how can you ascribe a percentage to a list of 47 survey businesses when the numbers are so low? The percentages are unequal. I hope you follow me. So, you know, one then questions whether any of the findings from the survey actually have a meaningful. They're just a bit stick. You know, it's just popping in a little question here, a little question there. Oh, that good thing, but does it actually constitute valid statistical analysis? I don't know, but I would be very surprised. So I think you've got to go back to your roots here and ask the question, why have you got so few numbers, so few sites surveyed? Why did you do it purely online? Why do you not have face-to-face interviews or even telephone interviews to get an in-depth understanding of your client base? I mean, if you've got 53 employees or whatever it is, however many branches, that means, again, a tiny number of surveyed clients per branch. You know, surely it would have been possible to use a couple of branch managers to say, okay, we've even just got to survey 50 businesses. How difficult can that be? You know, surely if you're taking this seriously, I surely hope you are. I believe that the population size of this sample is woefully inadequate. Notwithstanding that, efficiency in the survey, I do have questions. A lot of questions, as usual, but I would for you all of them now. It seems that there's a lack of leadership and coordination within the sector generally. And all the discussions that I have had over the last year and a half or nearly 2 years indicate that there is such a lack of coordination in leadership. And again, I think part of the problem is that the department and the agencies are organized and have a mindset around product delivery rather than client need. So, for example, we come back to this four request of financial versus non-financial support. And I think it's extremely telling in your one of your slides. Slide 31. Cedar employee rating of the programs they offer, access to finance. Zero rated excellent. Around about 15% rated good, most of it adequate or poor. Now, is that not surprising in view of the fact that Cedar and Cedar are two separate organizations? Yeah. So I think what I'm really getting at is that the whole basis upon which CEDA and your survey agency are constituted needs to be reevaluated. There are two organizations which operate in this space that I'd like to mention particularly. One, I had the opportunity to mention to the chairperson, Dr. Wiley, at the Innovation Conference of Wiley, is known as Synergisa. And the other one is an organization called Catalyst to Growth. Now, Dr. Wiley and the head of the Cedar Technology Program, who I also spoke to about this, neither of them have heard of Synergisa. I'm not sure that either of them have heard of Catalyst to Growth. But Synergisa is an organization which has got a relationship with the Department of Science and Technology. Why? But as tried as they might, they were unable to form a sort of partnership, first of all, with the DCI and then with the Charter School business. But their focus was solely on the commercial and development of high growth businesses in this country. So, why is it that there isn't a relationship between CEDA and Trinity's? Secondly, Catalyst for Growth. Catalyst for Growth was at the Gibbs Global Entrepreneurship Week event Gibbs last year, and I had the opportunity of meeting with them, and I met them again the other day. It's an organization set up by J.D. Morgan Bank and Dahlberg Consultancy, and its purpose is to provide verifiable monitoring and evaluation statistics of impact, measuring impact on small business development practitioners in this country. And they started a couple of years ago, and they had a relationship with two of the business incubators, Oric Business Incubator and Great Group. But they found that the organizations were not willing to share their best practice models. They were both operating as profit-driven businesses, and they felt what they had to share would complement their own competitiveness. So they broadened the analysis, so now they've got a survey which looks at the impact in terms of outcomes of 500 businesses which are under the wing of six, or I think there's a certain number of agencies. And they're due to produce their results sometime around July. Now again, prior to July, they have not yet had a significant meaningful discussion with the department, nor with either. And I know that one of the recommendations that came through from the Sizzings and Saluda Gobodo report was that the department needs to focus more on monitoring and evaluation and research. So why is it then that private sector tends to be out here, which is doing the very work that the department should be doing, and either is given the gold shoulder, or not even know that, from the HSC? Okay, I'd like to talk about Gazelles for a second. As I understand it, the Gazelles is focusing on potentially high-growth businesses. Just a question. Are the applications for Gazelles only restricted to existing Cedar clients or not? And what budget has been assigned to the Gazelles program? That's the Gazelles program. And I ask the question because if you look at the Gazelle program and compare it to the industrialist program run by DCI, it looks distinctly like the mini-me version in terms of the resources that you apply to it. I mean, do you really think that selecting 200 businesses, of which only 40, by the way, are going to be given the high-impact support, is really going to have impact across the economy? You know? it just, again, it baffles me as to why the priorities are so much for supporting so-called black investors, which is not actually supporting entrepreneurship and innovation. All it is taking business from one person and giving it to another. And that emphasis is placed upon actually stimulating entrepreneurship at the grassroots. I'd like to understand the difference between what you describe as a business advisor and a service provider. And what are the skills of these business providers? You say that most of them have the capacity to operate, you know, to advise a slightly larger businesses. So what is their background? Are they technical officers? Are they entrepreneurs themselves? What experience do they have that makes you question their ability to be helpful? I'm also disappointed that the methodology that you used was not the same as was employed for the department's program itself, which in evaluating the programs had a three-pronged approach: discontinue, transfer, or expand. In other words, which are the programs that are working, which are the ones that are not working, which are the ones that shouldn't be sitting in here at all. So that I don't see any fundamental questioning going on. It seems to me that you're just saying, well, this is what we've got, you know. Let's evaluate it. Okay, you do admittedly say that there are a few things you can put out. Why are you not looking at statistical or performance measures, for example, included in the GEM report, Global Entrepreneurship Monitor report, such as total entrepreneurial activity? And why are you not measuring yourself against these sorts of international benchmarks? Why are you not measuring yourself in terms of longitudinal impact of these interventions? In other words, you support a business in year one, is it still around in year three? I bet you anything you haven't finished. What is the growth part of these businesses? You know, what is their contribution to the local tax rates in terms of public taxes, employment taxes, corporate taxes? How is this impacting the economy? Because actually this is how you, the only way that you can really measure it. Measuring the number of businesses supported, the number of problems supported, it's all actually meaningless. And I mean, I think the comparative analysis of CIFA, you know, CIFA was very proud of the fact that it supported, I don't know, it's going to be supporting the next 5 years, 80,000 businesses. And it's going to create, wait for it, 1.5 jobs per business.
It's that. I mean,
you've got the bottom of the pyramid, which is basically the micro business, the ones that Arnold Mabasa is referring to. They are the important businesses. They are. But actually, what is that business? How do you graduate a micro business to becoming an easy business? Is that actually doable? How do you analyze the motive of that person who's in business? Maybe they go, what is it I'm in the business? So they have the capacity or the education to become a business, or even a small business. You know, there is a life cycle to a business, which one can trace, and it certainly is not the same as that pyramid. So that pyramid is a slice through the economy at any one time. It's not showing the dynamism exists within the economy. So how are you measuring the dynamism which exists within the economy and translating that into programs which, as the department reviewed, recommended, took a value chain approach to development? Right? In other words, what is the value chain, how does a business that is in need of support tap into that level of those various support structures so that it assists in its value chain? One of the things that CIFA also says a lot about is that it defines itself as a development agency, a DFI, Development Finance Agency. So are you similarly defining yourself as a development agency? Well, essentially by your name you would think so, but how do you then distinguish yourself between yourself and the private sector players in this space? Are you competing with them? Are you collaborating with them? Are you supporting them? You talk a lot about partnerships, but what does that actually mean? Well, but at the moment, I see a huge amount of activity going on around the country. There's lots of stuff going on in our entrepreneurial system, ecosystem, but I sometimes sort of see Sheila as being just another player. It shouldn't be another player. It should be the core agency that is leading the sector, and I see no leadership. Sorry. So, final question. I think that we've had an acting CEO of CEDA ever since disability was born. We've never had a CEO. Mr. Cordy, who was seconded to me, went back to more comfortable existence. I'd like to ask the chairperson, when is this situation going to be resolved? Because we saw in the carpet that without permanent DD, the department was dripping. No concrete decisions could be made. And I'm not pointing fingers here at the acting CEO in this person. I'm just pointing to the institutional issue of there being drift in an organization which does not have a current CEO. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sir President. Just appreciate the presentation. I think most of the comments that my colleagues have been mentioned. But let's just go to the second presentation on SAT. The increase of qualification points has been identified by the partners. I just want to note what Honorable Mabaz was saying in the presentation last year. It seems as if those people in rural areas are not the part of the plan of your strategic planning. So what when are we going to see the local collocation points in increasing the rural areas? That's where our people can access the information from our offices. And the other one is, you go to the first presentation on page 27 on the recommendation of elections. The last bullet. The HILA does not have the capacity to cover entire SMS property in the spectrum. When are we going to see the capacity to increase the data so that we can cover it? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. First, let me come to what I think may be the assist at all. The way to link the review of the top agency on its back. Anyway, that that's a situation where one believes that the agency was a person that was prepared, but when you find that there are these issues in the review, how do you bring them? How do you affect them in the agency? Does it make any change in the because now you think that they have been raised or that in the review, which in my opinion are supposed to be appearing there in future investment. Now, secondly, again, there is an issue of page 5, strategies. You have the performance environment related issues, and you can see them at the issues. When you go to operating environment related issues, I find a difference. Maybe I need to be different this one, because now when it comes to this performance, I found that there's indication of what Sita has done or has been able to do. And I am not able to relate whether these are issues as well as the previous one. I just need to clarify on that. And also, there is now that one of the pyramids, which was mentioned by another, I think. On that pyramid, I also have a concern of the possibility of my place for graduation of these levels, one to the other, which I think will continue to change, and which I also think it is your objective. You want to do that, you want to increase them going up from lower to upper levels. Therefore, and also I see there is something also says before I get where the level of employment or the number of employment of employees seems to be a factor. Maybe somewhere you need to correct that or use where situation because of technology and enterprise will employ few people, but with a lot of people or output because of this of technology and equipment. Now on again on the slide 7, I think for the mention this part, our concern why there is not mention of illegal finance as an assumption. Because many of your clients always come with that as a major issue. But in your assumptions, it does not appear there. I don't know whether it's an omission or it's somewhere else in the application. Another concern again now for me is the issue of cooperatives. I do have a sense that this issue of cooperatives, you attend to it, but it does seem to me that it becomes hidden somewhere, in a sense that many little things that you have no less concern about cooperatives. There is a possibility here that it is hidden in the interchangeability of the terms of small enterprise, small business, because I'm not sure that cooperatives cannot be part of small enterprise or cannot be part of small business. And if that is the case, it means there's work that you do, but which is hidden as if nothing is done in cooperatives. Therefore, to me, since something has been done, elevate that so that the clear enterprise, appears, especially if to some extent we find that the cooperatives will be part of small enterprise. Therefore, that should be clarified. Whereas I think it's not your responsibility or your board, it may just come from the department. I think that's the case. It influences and make it clear so that this issue of cooperatives and small enterprises, not business, because you should always come to you as if you don't talk about cooperatives or there's a religious faith about cooperatives. And now the last one is the one on the service providers. Whether there's any possibility of in-house development. It says that at some stage you will not be dependent on these service providers because you might have the in-house of these skills that you require without necessarily having to go to service provider. Because the fact is, in the system that we have, one can put it other system that we have, is that when you have 2 million, you say you need 2 million. In the essence is that maybe 1.5 of that money is going to be go to service providers. And the actual target is to people are only going to get a little of that. That's a reality. But I think if in some way you develop in-house capacity, it might improve that situation. Let me put it there for now. I only hope then you'll be able to have in your development model, a situation where you have guaranteed that once you have assisted someone, you have guaranteed that they will not come back. Honorable Chair, I have one very bad example, which the situation where I found that all projects need to be funded, given money, millions, and then left the project to flat on their own. When you come back, you don't find it. And I proved one example when I changed the situation. When I said, when we have planned, we said it's a budget for the project. I decided to say, then this percentage for this project is for incentives. It means those people who are waiting for that project throughout their life, they are getting so much for being there. That made them to believe that they are a benefit, because I've seen many people who are given 2 million and then they are told, after you have made profits from this project, then you get something. And they get nothing from the profit, from the project. There comes drought, there comes flood, there comes anything. After 12 months, there's zero from the project. They are expected to get something, they are expected to stay in the project. But that model, many people don't like it because they always say you spoil people. But to me, the fact that you make people benefit something while they are stuck in the project, it makes them to like it and to know from the very outset that they are benefiting from the project, rather than waiting for 2 years before the project is in the project. So those conversations, but those are things you can think about. And
thank you, Jess. Sorry, I just want to make a clarifying point. I think I was reading earlier in the statistical number that I referred to. When I referred to 0.02, I didn't mean it's extensive and it's a proportion of 100. It actually makes it into 2 sets. So your sample size is 2 sets, not 0.02. That's what I was complaining about. But the question still remains in that range.
Thanks. I mean, so let me start with the more. I think there's two broader questions that I just want to cover and then go into the most. But I think the first one is on the something technically for slide. I think that question came up quite a lot of time, as well as the one in the formal slide, but then I'll go into the more specific. I think on the question on the funding, I think what you should bear in mind is the following. So these are associated small businesses, and then 30 days after the intervention, we do a satisfaction survey where we look at things like the efficiency of the business advisor, the ability of the business advisor. So for every client that we have that information back, and then 6 months after we've assisted you, we go and look at how you're still in business in terms of the mortality rate, and you're not increasing your turnover, reducing your costs, and the number of people employed. So the database that was given to this provider, the information was given to this provider. The information on how Cedar clients perceive our processes is already there. The information on how clients are doing already exists. What we're trying to do is a contract code triangulation, which is the provider. Give us different sale items, and let's see those sale items will give us the same deal. So don't go and ask people to increase turnover, and we have to sell services. That's a different question, and that is the information that will come out is going to come out the same way. So that's why then we said we'll use a sample of pools. We'll then look at giving 2,150 offensive assistance. Let's see what we get from this, and look at whether this will give you the same information as our general population, because this information is already there. So if you're not to calculate using different data sources to give you more or less the same information, if they give you different information, then you go and dig deeper. So we went in 2.81 of this sample of this population of 250, which is look at clients with projects in the last 2 quarters. From this, 47 responded. And the response from the 47 corroborates what already exists, which is what I think we just have to call personal saturation. So if a certain data source says this is what is happening, you go and ask these different data sources, different group, and give the same information. The theory is you can ask as many people as you want, which is what is called saturation. They'll give you the same information as what the original thing was. So with us, the thing was never to generalize, but as you say, let's see the different data source and see whether it's going to corroborate what already exists on our data source. And what you can get from the 47 regardless of the minor differences in some of the demographics. But if you look at the approach in terms of effectiveness and also about the effective efficiency, it all tends to corroborate what's already started. So I think what is not going to say, still have better information on time, how it performs the machine. You could have indicated that it's just provide analyzing of the developer because it mentioned each other. But you said use a different data source and see whether you're going to come up with the same information. And using the first seven, you more or less came up with a different thing, which is what you call transformation. So theoretically, you could have gone and asked 1,000 people, they probably told you the same information, the 47, which tied up to what already is. And also, it's also very nice. The cost of the study in the time constraint. So go back and do something, time constraint also doesn't really work well. But we're comfortable that the 47 limited as one of the pages, it corroborates what already exists on our data. So this was more what we call data translation, using different sources to look at whether we can come up with the correct information as, that comes the same information as what already exists on the data set. So that's on that
change. May I also clarify? The survey records, when you see that line, on small businesses and corporations, irrespective of whether they will see that line, because we have heard in front of us, those people that either wanted to get support from people, and those that we just wanted to get support from FIFA in this party, and they were not likely to get support. Because the main purpose of the assessment is to look at the needs of small businesses and cooperatives, irrespective of whether they have been certified, what are their needs, so that the department, FIFA and FIDA can then design products that respond to the felt needs at those people. Not necessarily those that have been certified. So the question that I'm asking is, who are the people that were surveyed? Did the survey focus on single clients, or the survey focus on SMMEs and companies, irrespective of whether FIDA had given them services before?
Alicia, on slide 6, the quote would have. So we review the FIDA product and services in terms of relevance, effectiveness, security mechanism, and the scale of support. And probably was the only people that can give you a holistic view of the people that have the FIDA plan. So we do FIDA plans for the studies. When we do general studies on climate, for example, in manufacturing, we go in sample countries and outside. So when we review our product and looking at coming up with new product, we do a general sample of small businesses in the country. But for this is because we're looking at relevant effectiveness, the mechanism which is so helpful was if someone who's experienced an interaction with business advisor with a service provider to give us a sense of how that interaction was going to be helpful on us.
I think that is where the dilemma is. Because what we have asked the department to do, which then the department also felt that the entities that provide support was to look at the programs that they are offering and the relevance of those programs in terms of the first need. We specifically said first need. And our process also exposed you to people that we brought in who would speak in our meeting and point out what their experience has been with FIDA, FIFA, and the department in relation to their service, because you are going to be designing new programs that are speaking to those first needs as opposed to evaluating the program that you already have. You are evaluating the effectiveness and the satisfaction that the clients get, and how much you are giving them, but you are also affecting their needs. What is that they want that you don't give to them? So that we can then design ourselves to meet their needs. And then the third question that we need to ask, if then we have this program that is not that effective, are we going to continue offering this program, even if the people that we give to them, we give it to them, are not saying this is what they want? So the question still remains, what was the rationale in only focusing on your clients when we are saying position yourself to service the client base irrespective of whether that client has received your services? Because what we want you to do is to be relevant and address the client's needs, not the client's needs.
There's 2 points. I think the first point is there is continuous benefit of program development, and all of the programs that we have come up with have been based on what the time figure that you mentioned, in terms of which is what time is. Some of the studies, even the ones which is continuous, but our clients internally and people that are not supporting are able to tell us. So that information which was given to us quite as part of the digital review. On clients that we said in previous studies, clients that are feeder clients and not feeder clients, how they've sort of evaluated the problems that we have. Then we said, to really give us a holistic view of these items which we have agreed upon, which is the relevance, effectiveness, mechanism, and pain, we took the steps to only use the internal ones who have gone through an experience of all of these. But what I agree is, we could take the same type of items and our clients that are outside here and see what we have. For example, the client that we surveyed internally, they told about the franchising program, they told about the sub program, procurement tender process. So we're able to get gaps even from this group that we have internally, where there's opportunities to go outside and get survey the general population and say, these are products and services that you have, to these, talk to the needs that you have, what additional gaps do you have? So I feel that you could look at something, not just your clients going forward, look at a broader effect to say, this is what you offer. And even the number of clients we have internally said there's additional programs you could consider. What additional programs do you have? And then also maybe look at the areas that the study seems to be under focusing on, for example, really emphasizing. But at that point, really to address the objectives for serving internally seems to be the logical way to go through.
In view of that, would you then agree with us that your approach was limited because it looked inwardly instead of looking outside? We are put in this case to service these people, and we have programs that we came with from DGI. We are now in this space of food business development. The portfolio committee is saying, prove to us that your products that you are offering are relevant to the needs. This is what we ask. The portfolio committee is saying, when interacted with the client base, they raise these issues. Lack of finance, lack of access to finance, lack of adequate infrastructure, lack of access to market, lack of adaptive training, technical skills, and business skills. We don't get the technical support that we require, and the investors, we are not paying our invoices on time. This is what they are saying to us when we interact with them. Then, look at your product, speak to them, and say, these are the products that. The question would be, have you heard of an organization called FIDA? The person on the other line would say yes or no. Do you know what FIDA offers to small businesses and cooperatives? And the person on the other side would either say no or yes. Or have you had an interaction with FIDA in the past? the person will say yes or no. And then the question will go on and on. So actually get to a point where you get a sense whether this person knows that they can see that, and this person has had an interaction with Lisa, and this person knows the programs that are provided by this. Like for instance, people went to walk down here, they are first burners here, and do a little refunding and ask them as to whether they are head of sinners. What would be their response? That is what we ask both department and the entity to do, so that you can then package your product to address the self needs. Those things that people are saying we don't get things. So that you can eliminate those that you are currently offering and they are not really needed. Upscale those that you are offering but they are not adequately addressing. They are needed but they are not adequately addressing. Like if I look at one of the pages here, we talk about the how you define a small business. 250 something. I can't remember which slide was that, but we talk about the turnover, the size. But in my view, there is a small business that doesn't. Yes, this one. It talks about less than 5 employees. Very limited things, but there is another one that talks about the turnover.
I don't want to get off your track, but I just think it's worth pointing out something here. The size of a business isn't actually concerned with the number of employees. It doesn't necessarily tell you what sort of business it is. Because, for example, in the UK, since the last 5 or 6 years, there's been an absolute explosion of micro-businesses. But these micro-businesses are not selling sweets by the side of the road. They're doing high-value-added activities, which have been doing significant BT economy. Their turnover is probably in the millions of pounds. So again, this type of analysis, frankly, is not helpful. But it doesn't analyze motive for that, the formation of that business. You're assuming that a business that employs less than 5 people to survive this business. That's a completely incorrect assumption. That is absolutely not true. And in fact, one of the things that we should be doing in this country is encouraging the formation of small, even micro businesses with a high value added that can start to employ more people. So again, I think, you know, coming back to the point that you were making, sir, you need to be much clearer about and understanding what is the ground we're exploring out there in terms of the business application.
I would say on the title, it's a question of whether you can be afraid. You can't use this as a blanket because you take a small business and put it in category. If you look at the app, it has two ways of defining small businesses, which are the amount of people employed, as well as sectoral turnover, for example, 7,500 people, that business employed, so that the turnover so much would be micro, small, medium. So there's also finance related sort of classified small businesses in that. The challenge with that is it hasn't revised, I don't know, how many years. And what was 5 million
now, before.
Yeah. What was 5 million then is no longer 5 million now. So the job remains the job. But, and then also certain sectors, for example, green economy, ICT, were quite absent from that. So while we understand that certain like biotech and that, the company employing 5 people should be exporting, which is what we do consider, in fact, we just said as a broad, you know, from the key sector in the economy, Sudha Putin, and as the city sector, I don't describe them as any aware of it. But to use finance to become very difficult because the value of my work is 5 million, then to use 5 million to say a business is an accident. It's not the same everyone is. So that's why a job becomes a more strategic way of diversity. But you are here, there's a dynamic in this area where you're cutting pressure. You know, when employers may need to provide your channel or any of the sophistication, could be of someone else at the higher end of the thing. So that we do take interest in the fact of that. Let's start. The other area, which I think is one area that I'm considering working on, is so historically we, if you take cooperatives for example, we had a cooperatives program, but not using only campus strategy of what the needs, dynamic, and how do we really respond to the species, to that sector. Who are the key partners that we put on board? So if you're looking at that, you're looking at your informal sector, as well as your township enterprise, those are areas that we've intervened, but not in a structured, strategic way. And I think that's why, if you're going to go and look at the science, you can find a lot of science that you sacrifice in the form of business. But it's a formal strategy in that space that there isn't one. And that's why we started in Aiden to the partners, look at the national informal business strategy. How can Peter from that come up with his own strategy on an sector? So that's one area that we identified. We don't have really a coherent strategy in that space. The country enterprise is also another one where we also have part of discussions around how do we firstly come up with research on the need and the management of the sector, and then consider how do we play with that space in our program. So what you see going forward is really this structured strategy for both sectors that deliver key, which is the offices, your informal sector, as well as the target enterprises. We've assisted people though at a program level, but we haven't really had a coherent strategy that looks at the dynamics and who has played with this sector, what are the needs and how to measure the individual program. So it's an area that we concede we don't have a strategy in that space. Even in the numbers, we see a lot of informal business, lots of cash enterprises, lots of properties, but no structured program or strategy there. That's one area that we will be working on. And then I think those are the more general questions, then I'll just go through the other ones that came through. So there was, I think, one was from one of the members on the intellectual app.
Before that, just to follow up on the preceding question answer. What does one mean with the preceding answer is that CIDA has been functioning for years. So if we unless they're saying it was not in its mandate, this those informal centers, and I want to be very specific, but I assume we're now together, I don't have to give examples, just so that you don't get slightly high. You know, I mean, they didn't know what you know. Unless we say it was not in its mandate, but if it was in its mandate, it can't be now that we say we don't have a because that would be which means the backlog in terms of our attitudes would be enormous. And included in that, of course, would be the color shops, you know. So I just thought if I would have any remark or consider on this clarification.
We've already been informed by what the salary is from the signal to the beam. And we were under the GCI, while we were told continue to mention what we've been. I think the key part of them was the initial goal again, and we were asked what the focus is. And one of the focus areas that you really need to focus on at the program level to give emphasis to the NGP would be increasing the basic support, working with that team for the FM cooperatives, ensuring that your client sectoral base of the sectoral position that millions of the key growth sectors in the country, and then also working with your more higher end business because the sector shown that this is where the equation. So that's what the framework we should operate at that point. We've now moved across the department, where the whole area of your rural enterprise when it comes to the economy is becoming more common. And therefore giving focus to that process. We've assisted time in that space, but never pure focus, because the three are in terms of program focus on this area to the impetus to the end user.
Not in the head, I don't mean
a lot can be done, a lot of errors that we are being focused on.
May I ask a question?
Yes.
One thing I was going to ask, who has the responsibility for other shops? For assisting the other shops? For assisting the storage vendors? People that you will see in Kailish at the rank, who are selling the chicken on the table instead of putting them on the fridge. People who are cutting heads in an open place even when it is late. Who, when Peter was in DTI, who was selecting those people? Those mamas that we saw in Bizana, who are selling second-hand clothes, putting them on the floor. Those mamas that we saw in Limpopo, who are selling food, along the road, in a state where there is no running water and there is no toilet, who are the exposure to the hospital?
When we were still in the eye, we did assist those mamas and the haircutter. The challenge that we had on our reporting, it was not, they were not cutting guys and this and coming from Samshi. So they were falling under the salaries. We had the reach, we only kept the outreach going to those underserved areas, but how we reported them, they were not like specifically categorized in and out of the sea. So not called and said, you are coming from Sudan, you are coming from Ubajiba, all those things. But we have outreach to those areas. But then I think with the reporting that it was missing, to say that this one is so tiny and coming from the location or you have something just categorized on our reporting. Might not never get as much as it was needed, but the outreach, you can see in the moment, you need better to go to those areas where they can come to us.
Because it means we assisted people, but we did not, we don't know where those people are. They are not categorized, they are not, you maybe say, tell us to them. Get the impression that we will not successfully take care of them. Or I can just ask the specific question and say, in Pili and in Pimpin, have we assisted any vendors? Because you see, what does this mean? If we don't know where we are helping people, if we can't say we helped Mamabaka in Chawelo, sitting at the railway station, then we won't be able to follow up, monitor, check whether we are effectively helping. So that's where, and if we just help numbers, then we unless I'm misunderstanding, it's like
school. Maybe the
way
that I use categorize, I don't know. I can go and say, as we are going according to the egg, according to our family. It's not that we don't know where we are. I don't know, maybe the individual, the category, we didn't have that category to say, this is a street vendor, you know, but we know where they are.
No, no, let me simplify. I know and have been texting the check. Let me simplify. I don't know. Is it possible for those flat data to be given to us, particularly of this group that is speaking of? I know it, that's all that's a bit historical as well, so that we don't, so then we from there, you know, we can help each other on let not forget to make it both township, rural, other shops, and but especially the most downtrodden.
Yes, we
will
put that in our
data. We can visit them.
We are not looking for the data. The situation is happening in our country. The first time now we have kept the information. And the position of the and all those are from that branch. And that fight is about the same. Where South Africans who used to operate barber shops saw that business and they are caring. They were not competing with anyone. Came the foreign national who did not come in the country as in the staff, carrying 5 million. Who start a car guard and earn that money from being a car guard. And then go and invade the space that used to be the space the Somujuan production. And if there is no specific program, there is no evaluation, we as students, the indirect says we don't see them. And this is what they said. And we found that there, the program that we have is effective or non-effective. And therefore the recommendation of what is it. It would mean that if that problem we remain assured. That is the issue that we are facing. The inward looking and the outward looking. That's what we are saying.
So definitely we take note of the comments. The way consideration, even though the question of consideration, I think at for the 9 points, at the end of course, you have a 7.6. So what you normally find is that at the end of the financial aid, then should have a lot of people coming to financial aid tend to resign. So if you have been paid under 10% during the quarter, but it tends to shoot up towards another financial aid or something, but then you'll be able to keep it under another 10% during the financial aid, that's the first thing. Then there's also a question on intellectual property as a program. So how would you have been in that space? So if working with CNPC and other organizations that are in the space of looking at a prototyping and developing models and looking at other things we can test and do. It's more inclined in our incubation space that come up with it around having an idea that they want to work on the energy side of the relationship. So we do actually find through our technology units working with your SABS, with your regulator for components tests, as well as the CIPC acting as a administration. But it's an area that, because of the cost, it costs to really get an IP. We need to ensure that the client is at a stage where there's a high chance that this will actually become taken as a potential process. Because the cost involved in that process are quite high. We do a lot of work before that. So that when you link you up to CIPC, you're fairly comfortable that your idea is unique enough to take it. So we do obviously make space
working in partnership with other organizations. Then the follow-up I want to make on intellectual property. When inputs were made on intellectual property, it was discovered that the indigenous people in South Africa were on the receiving end. In other words, they were the disadvantaged. That anything that they discovered would quickly be scooped by medium size and big business. Discover anything, big business quickly scoop it. And they claim it. And then, such that most of the poor people, especially blacks, ended up having very, if none, intellectual property case. Such that even just give examples, even food like Amasoja, Moran Wets, the intellectual property there was not, you know, with the African people. But I don't know now whether that has changed after the act was approved. And even the dresses, the clothing, let me call it clothing, the traditional clothing, whether we call it Ndebele clothing, whether we call it Sangani clothing, whichever, we found that the intellectual property is not with those indigenous, let me be simplistic with say tribal people, because you know that it goes according, these relations go according to tribes. You will find there's a Zulu type when there is that, this one there is it's total, yes. Then you find, if you go to Limpopo, you find there is the Venda type willing, you go, you find there's the Vele, you know. So, because part of transformation is also protecting such inventors so that they are not taken advantage of by those that have money. So my question was more directed into the space, slightly historical, and also going forward, you know, just to if you could comment whether the amendment of that act has brought any food home. Because when inputs were made, the poorest of the poor never had access to come make inputs. Most of them did not make inputs. The people that came to make inputs were especially the big established businesses. And we interpreted that they were doing it to protect what they call their entrenched benefits, you know, and to protect what they call their area. So that way, my question, you know, to give you flesh was going to.
You can
really
handle that
in
the person who develops the Makana is Mr. Bando. I think they call us that the intellectual property of the Makara. The Makara power is nothing used by the so-called set. Not the Makara, but actually used when you are in the mind. Makara, so-called set. He first designed one for engineering, and then he became popular one that I see. But it should not be registered in the field. It was registered by the white men who deployed it. Who then offered to buy material for me? And then, okay, she offered me the material in. But the inventor of the thing was Mando. So that person is issue, because the industrial contact that I don't want to have, it's a very tough thing for anybody to know. They are having an audience way looking at developing to commercialize those IP. So it's mostly only a PHP, if I remember correctly. That's the science and technology they are looking at commercializing those IP. So there's a way that we know that heavily on that side of PHP. I think then help, I think we need to have more information to PHP to zoom in on the IP.
My advice is, is that you should also get in touch with the Jewel not Mechanist Engine. That's the note you're sending me. Who was heading that empire? So that when you interact with the Department of Science and Technology, you also take into account the amended act and whether the act has brought any benefits so that you get a bigger product. Thanks.
Can we get back to the...
and we live with the last December.